Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 16, hoping in God's future messianic kingdom opposite current evils. When we live in a world that is full of evil, and it can be very discouraging. And what's neat about the Bible is that every now and then it gives us a glimpse of the kingdom of Christ that is coming. It's a kingdom of righteousness and glory and peace, justice and equity, very different from today's world. We learn from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5 to 34, that God would judge Assyria, the rod that he would use to punish Israel, for Assyria would proudly lift up herself in her role as God's disciplinary rod versus humbly submitting to him. Well, Isaiah 11, 1 to 16, suddenly looks at the distant future to Messiah's kingdom to contrast it both with Israel's sin and the sinful reign of Assyria, an empire to rise, though Syria's empire would fall. And we view that passage for our insight in our edification. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 16. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And it shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither shall he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his kidneys. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed together, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the nursing child shall play in the hole of the cobra. The weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den or nest, and they shall not hurt nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for all the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a rod, a root of Jesse, which shall stand for a rallying ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left, from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they together shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them to the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, that would be the Gulf of Suez. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. Okay, so some of this is pretty difficult language in the King James, and I want to describe it as we go through, but this talks about some pretty wonderful things that are going to be happening in the kingdom of God. In striking contrast to the Lord's figuratively cutting down the forests and the great trees of Assyria's leaders and soldiers back in chapter 10, verses 33 and 34, the Messianic kingdom would rise from a shoot that would grow up from the cut-off stump of Jesse, David's father. It's a picture of the restoration of the Davidic kingdom after judgment. Remember, there are no chapter breaks in the original text, so chapter 11 just continues on right after verse 34 of chapter 10. So God's going to be cutting off the so-called trees. The soldiers of the Assyrians look like trees, and so they're being cut down. But then in the cut down, tree of the Davidic kingdom, God's going to allow a shoot to grow up, and that's the Messiah. He's going to come back. So it deals with the Messiah coming back after Israel has been judged, after the Babylonian captivity, after the Assyrian captivity. Now this branch, the Messiah, would have the Holy Spirit rest upon him. And we know this happened in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. Remember when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and so forth. That's when the Spirit of God descended on him. And this Spirit would have a sevenfold ministry. The Spirit of the I Am Jehovah, or the Eternal Existing One. It's interesting, a number of times in John's Gospel, Jesus said, I am, I am. I am the bread of life, I am. And that's the I Am of the Old Testament. It's the God of the Old Testament. He was claiming to be the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Also, it's the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. That would be reverence for God. It's interesting that these sevenfold characteristics of the Holy Spirit are needed in consecutive order of distributions to the seven eras of church history. We happen to be in the seventh era of church history right now, and so the ministration of the Spirit that is most needed today is the ministry of the fear of the Lord, or reverence for God. There's a big lack of reverence for God in our society. There's even a lack of reverence for God in the church. And when a believer really has a heavy reverence for God, God works in his life. So it's very important. Consequently, Messiah would rule in tremendous contrast to the wicked rulers of men in Isaiah's day. Messiah would delight in revering God, seeking to do the Father's will at every turn. If you look at the life of Jesus, both in John's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, Mark, Luke, all the time, Jesus kept talking about, my will is to do the will of my Father that sent me. So many times people are just off doing their own thing. Many times Christians just doing your old thing. I want to do this and do that. When we should be saying, what does God want me to do? And I found as a pastor, I have to watch it. Sometimes I want to pastor the way I feel I should do it. And I've learned from the Lord. The Lord says, no, I have my will for as to how I want you to pastor, Don. So I've learned to begin to follow God in even how I pastor. And only when I follow him does he bless. If I just go off and do my own thing, he doesn't bless. I'm on my own. So it's neat. Jesus was always seeking to revere God, to do the Father's will at every turn. Then Messiah would not judge by external superficial knowledge, but by righteousness and justice will he render judgments for the oppressed while striking down the wicked with his words. Virginia mentioned tonight that there's a tremendous amount of injustice in our justice system today. The day is coming, thank God, when justice will be meted out in the state of Connecticut under the rule of Jesus Christ. There will be perfect justice and all wrongs will be meted out. All people who have been oppressed will be relieved of that oppression, and we're looking forward to that wonderful day. Indeed, righteousness and faithfulness would be a part of Jesus as if he wore them as a belt and a sash. His righteousness would be so consistent, his justice would be so great, it would be as though he was wearing it on his body. Well, Messiah's righteous rule would be marked by the blessed removal of the Adamic curse. Remember when Adam sinned, there was a curse, wildness was put on animals, thorns came up and so forth. That curse is going to be removed in the Messianic kingdom. And if you love animals, you'll love this. The wolf would live with the lamb. The leopard would lie down with the goat. Normally, leopards kill goats and eat them. The calf and the lion and the yearling together would be led by a little child. Can you imagine someday a little child is going to be leading a calf and a lion and a yearling together? And these would be former enemies, but they're all now friends. It's amazing. Someday a little child will have a big tiger as his kind of like his teddy bear, and just grab the teddy bear and the tiger just follow this little child all the way along. The cow would feed with the bear, and their young would lie down together. And the lion would not prey on cattle, but instead eat straw like an ox. They've actually experimented today. There was a story in Answers in Genesis magazine. Somebody has raised a lion from birth, and instead of feeding the lion meat, they made him eat straw, and the lion now eats straw. He doesn't kill animals. Yep. So it's interesting. That's going to change someday. Also, the infant child would play near the cobra's hole. Can you imagine that? I think of little Naomi, your baby sister, getting old enough someday, and then she going out, and your mom thinking, your dad thinking nothing of it, sticking her hand in a cobra's hole and pulling the thing out like that and playing with it and petting it, saying, "Nice, Nakey." But that's going to happen. That's going to happen. And snakes, we have a lot, the antinomy that we have with them, and snakes will be very mild. They'll be like little worms. You'll be able to play with them. Not today, but in that day. A young child would put his hand into the viper's nest where there are all sorts of vipers, and vipers are very poisonous. And you get struck by a viper. When I was growing up in Nigeria, West Africa, you had approximately 2 minutes to live unless you had the anti-venom. But if you got bitten by a viper, you're essentially dead. Well, a little child is going to stick his hand in the nest where all sorts of these vipers are, and he's not going to be stung. He's not going to be bitten by them. The poison apparently is going to be removed. So, they will neither harm nor destroy in all of God's holy mountain. Apparently, you're going to have these snake holes and nests and so forth, even on Mount Zion, but they won't hurt because the curse is removed. And then man's attitude towards snakes will be very, very different. Indeed, the Bible says the earth would be full of the knowledge of the Lord like the waters that cover the sea. Amazing. And that would be a dramatic change from the world in Isaiah's era. In fact, even in our era today, how many people today are incredibly ignorant of the Bible and of the Lord. But in that day, everybody's going to know the Lord. And they're going to know completely. They'll know all about His Word. You can stop to talk to anybody about some deep theological issues out of the Word of God, and they'll all be conversant in it. That's amazing. Also, the Messiah would be a means for rallying of the nations. In verse 10, the root of Jesse, focusing on Messiah as rising up from the cut-off tree of the fallen Davidic kingdom, would stand as a banner for the peoples of the world, and the nations would rally to him, and his place of rest would be glorious. This is a beautiful picture here that people would be excited about meeting the Lord Jesus, and they'll come from various parts of the world, and they'll see him. And when they come and they see him, they'll find rest. Rest of their soul, and it will be a glorious thing. Isaiah 11:11-16 refers to God's gathering Israel and Judah from all over the world in the kingdom era. A remnant of Jews would come from the north, that's Hamath, from the south, Egypt and Cush, Cush is Ethiopia, from the east, that's Assyria, what we know as Iraq and Iran, Elam and Babylon, and from the west, the islands, the four quarters of the earth. A rift that now exists, or it was existing in Isaiah's day, between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah would be healed. And together they would swoop down as a single military force on the Philistines to the west and plunder their foes to the east, with Edom, Moab, and Ammon being subject to them. The Philistines, the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites plagued Israel for centuries. But Israel is going to get the upper hand there. And then when the millennial kingdom would begin, God would prepare the way for his people to return to Israel. God would dry up the Gulf of Suez to enable Jews to return from Egypt and Cush. This is amazing. The Gulf of Suez, the north end of the Gulf of the Suez, the Red Sea, is what God parted for them to cross over. God's going to dry that whole thing up. And then they can cross right from Egypt, right from Ethiopia, right up in that area. It's amazing. And he would split the Euphrates up into shallow little canals, crossable by foot, so they might return to Israel from the east. So in other words, the water is going to be probably less than an inch deep. It's going to be split all over the place. And of course, that's going to help with the irrigation. But people will be able to walk right across. It's kind of like the salt flats or something, unlike the river Euphrates today. God's going to make it very, very easy for people to come on foot back to the land of Israel. There would also be a highway for the remnant of his people left in Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up out of Egypt in the first Exodus, all so they might return to the land of Israel. Apparently God's going to have a highway constructed. Another passage, I think later in the book of Isaiah, talks about a highway that will run all the way from Egypt, all the way up through Israel, all the way up into now what is Iraq. And all three of those nations, Egypt, Israel, and but as Assyria now is Iraq and Iran and so forth, they would all be brothers. They would all be brotherly. That's impossible today.
absolutely impossible, unthinkable today, but that's going to change because everybody's going to be a believer. The Iraqis and Iranians, all those people will be believers at that time. Believers in Israel, believers in Egypt. So why not have a highway connecting all those nations? So Messiah's kingdom will be righteous, peaceful, nurturing, unified, and blessed. Opposite the sin, the unrest, the destruction, the division, lack of blessing under the reigns of wicked Israel, Judah, and Assyria in Isaiah's day. So may we hope in Messiah, Jesus' blessed kingdom to come when facing the world's current evils. And may we, like Jesus, rely on the Holy Spirit's power for victorious ministry today in our service for the Lord. There is a tremendous need in the church today, not only for pastors' ministry, but for the man in the pew to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. If we rely upon the Spirit of God, we have the power to live the Christian life. And then we also have the will to live the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life without God living through us. But Jesus himself was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, he had power in himself as God, but he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit as a pattern for us, because we're not God. So if we rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, 3 and 4, we have the capacity to obey the Lord and to live victoriously today. So may we, like the Lord, rely upon the Spirit. And in doing so, we have the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of the I Am, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and reverence. And then we can live godly lives.